Hello, my name is Jillian.
My name is Yolanda, and welcome to
the Pemberley Podcast. All right. Happy post-holidays, everyone. Yeah. We are after Thanksgiving.
We had great Thanksgiving.
I also hope we have Thanksgivings. We're recording this a little ahead of time, so we are pre-Thanksgiving right now.
We can only assume we had great Thanksgivings.
I can't say I've ever had a Thanksgiving where I was like, that was a crapshoot. That was a crapshoot.
Speaking of segues, we're going to go to an email we received from a lovely listener, Emmy, who was gracious enough to take the time to sort out how she feels all of the Lizzie Bennet Diaries characters would have been sorted into Hogwarts houses. And we're going to go over those. There's some interesting ones that I'm not sure if I completely agree with. But totally respect your opinion, Emmy.
There are some controversial things in here. But like we said, we want you guys to email us because then it's more of a back and forth conversation. Emmy thinks that Lizzie is a Slytherin. Thoughts? I suppose she's kind of clever. Like Slytherin have the reputation for being, but I'd put her as Gryffindor.
I would put her as Gryffindor. I think Gryffindors can be selfish. I don't think that's exclusively a Slytherin trait necessarily.
Uh-huh. Everyone is selfish.
Yeah, everyone is selfish to a degree too.
Yeah. I feel like if she had to rise to the occasion to be brave and bold, and like she does it, like she changes in the end. We're pre-pride Lizzie. pre-pride Lizzie, that's who we're dealing with right now. But she you know, rises to the occasion. She's got Jane as Hufflepuff.
I completely agree.
I have no arguments.
Yes, that's an obvious one.
She says Lydia Hufflepuff with a bit of Gryffindor because recklessness.
I think if Lydia were in Hufflepuff, they would all look at her like, what mistake happened here with the hat? The hat is wrong.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would just, I mean, I guess the Hufflepuff aspects is that she's sort of lighthearted, and so in that respect, I can see the Hufflepuff, but I would just go straight up Gryffindor. Like, she's gonna, like, bang down any door that stands in her way, you know?
Yeah. As we've seen, like, with her weaseling in her way to go to Carter's, and mm-hmm. she kind of gets things done, and she is very not like Jane. So,
yeah.
Who I think we agree that Jane is the epitome of Hufflepuff. There's actually a really great video that came out with Eddie Redmayne talking about being a Hufflepuff.
I saw his cute little PSA. Like,
and I'm a Hufflepuff. No. I'm proud to be a Hufflepuff. Bless your heart.
I haven't seen Fantastic Beasts yet. But it's, like, at the tippy top of my list.
Yes. All right, then, let's get into the episodes, starting with episode 15, Lizzie Bennet is in Denial. This was written by Rachel Kiley. First episode with no Lizzie.
I feel like this is the episode you and I have been waiting for a long time, because a lot of our conversations over the past 7 episodes have been, is Lizzie a reliable narrator? Can we trust what she thinks about Darcy? She just hates him so much, So this is a Lizzie-less episode where we get the perspectives of Charlotte and Jane.
Yeah, because even though in a previous episode we had Lizzie sitting with Jane saying, I want to get your perspective to set the record straight, Jane was still being nice and mm-hmm. sweet and describing everyone as sweet, so we don't really get the full perspective or really maybe even Jane's real opinion. So now we have Charlotte to kind of pull that out of her because she was at Carter's. She can tell the accurate point of view of everyone, more or less.
But I was gonna say accurate. I would say the accurate part of it is just not Lizzie. Like,
yes,
two perspectives are better than one. If Jane contributes anything to this episode, it's at least an excellent Darcy impression.
Yes.
We get to see some excellent acting by Laura Spencer here.
The main point they're getting across, though, is that Lizzie Bennet is in denial. She is completely wrong about Darcy. He's not just like this complete jerk who sulks in the corner and doesn't want to deal with her at all.
Well, I feel like we can still think he's a complete jerk, but what we confirm in this episode, I mean, like, if this plot does anything for the advancement of the story. It's that we now have confirmation that Darcy is into Lizzie.
Yeah.
He says cheesy lines about the face, pair of fine eyes and the face of a pretty woman. Like, I had to wrap my brain around that statement like 5 times to get what she was saying. But he was looking right at Lizzie.
Per Charlotte's memory.
Yeah, I mean, like...
But I think that was Jane pretty accurate. It. Yeah.
Jane, she's like, he was very fixated on her. Like, you know, we have two witnesses,
yeah,
two reliable witnesses that saw Darcy ogling Lizzie. That was a gross way to say it, but he was just, like, making googly eyes at her and maybe fake texting.
So for the first time in this episode, we are getting our first glimpse of Caroline in costume theater. We've heard about Caroline. Mm-hmm. We've heard it from Jane's perspective and from Lizzie's perspective, but now we're getting Charlotte's full-on impression impression of Caroline. And we see she's a little valley girl-ish and very mean.
Stuck up.
And it's a very different perception from what we've been led on to believe.
Yeah, I feel like we've heard about two very different Carolines. There's the Jane Caroline, where she's like, oh my gosh, isn't she so sweet? Isn't mm-hmm. she just like the best person ever? She's my best friend. And then we get Lizzie's perspective, where she goes, she's nice, but...
She's kind of suspicious
about her.
Yeah.
And then we get Charlotte's...
gold impression.
Gold impression, and this Caroline is just like off the charts. Biatch. Like,
she's like, how can you deal with a town that listens to top 40 radio? And
no, not top 40 radio, top 40 radio.
There you go. Yes.
Wear sunglasses inside in a bar at night.
Who are you?
Who do you think you are?
Caroline Lee.
Yeah. And then we kind of see evidence of her Darcy thirst.
Yes. I mean, she's sticking around with Darcy. She's kind of just sticking by his side because it seems like to her the other Bennets are beneath her. So she's sticking with the one person who still has their head on straight because clearly Bing has lost his mind. He's in love with a commoner. And so Darcy, she's like still got a grasp on Darcy and she's still into him, obviously. So she's venting to the one person she thinks understands her.
You know, poor Caroline, she's kind of losing Darcy. I mean, yeah, even though we love to hate on her for hating on regular people, she's just someone who's used to living her life a certain way, and moving to this town has really disrupted that, and the only ally she has is Darcy, and now she's losing him to a commoner.
Yes. Then their night got interrupted with drunk Lydia. They had to take care of her, and which Charlotte calls out Lydia for being drunk, and Jane stands up for her little sister.
Something we never see.
Yeah.
Because both of those girls are her big sister, and, I mean, if she were telling Liz that, she'd be like, yeah, what a drunk.
I know.
Pick her up, throw in her a barrel of cold water.
Yes.
And then Jane stands up and goes,
Charlotte, can you please not refer to my baby sister as a drunk?
Go, Jane, for being the good big sister.
Yeah, I mean, she's a great big sister, and she stands up for everyone. She wants to make sure no one's feelings are hurt.
Yeah.
She's there to kind of settle any conflict and kind of be that mediator with every situation. So she's a great big sister. Jane is a wonderful person.
Yeah.
And I think that's why she's very selfless. She's always, like, looking out for everyone else's needs before she, like, considers herself.
Mm-hmm. I mean, coming up, this could be to her fault because, remember, we heard a couple of episodes ago, maybe Jane shouldn't be so subtle about her feelings. She should just go for it. And Jane's not used to going for it. She's used to making sure that everyone else is feeling all right instead of thinking about herself and what she wants to do with a relationship or anything else.
Yeah. That's why she's stuck at a horrible job.
I love it when Charlotte calls Jane a narc at the end when she's like, I'm sorry, Lizzie. I'm so like, she has this bold statement of, don't call my baby sister a drunk. And then she's like, but I'm so sorry for hijacking your video blog, Lizzie. Narc. So do you think Charlotte and Jane had the right to do this? Like, it's the Yolanda Rodriguez diaries and you're talking about your life and I disagree with some the way that you're talking about some guy.
Go behind my back and you post a video on my channel discrediting me.
Yeah. Like, yeah, saying like, Yolanda's insane. She's just like, this is not how
and
this
I've
happened.
Like built up an audience and people are watching.
Yeah.
And you suddenly embarrassed me in front of thousands of people.
Yeah.
That would be a little infuriating. Yeah, actually. Yeah. Jillian, how could you?
I'm sorry. It had to happen.
It would be like if you posted a podcast episode without me.
Yeah.
And be like, you know what, Yolanda? Maybe Lydia is a Hufflepuff. Like,
and you'd be like, I got that. I could trust you.
I know. Yeah, I mean, considering this is Lizzie's project, really, mm-hmm. and this is something that she's doing, it would be a little frustrating to see that, even though we kind of laugh it off and mm-hmm. we say, oh, Lizzie, get over it. We're getting both sides of the story now. That's mm-hmm. great. It's ultimately the narrative that she wants to tell. And her best friend chose to step in because why? Because the audience wasn't getting the full story?
Yeah. It's not like Lizzie is lying to the camera. It's right. not like she's talking about things that didn't happen. She's just saying that, I mean, she's kind of the author here. She's telling it from her perspective.
Right, but it's saying, in them doing this, it's saying how big of a part the audience is in their videos now. Then the audience is really part of their narrative and how they're telling their stories and how they're sharing all this information, because if really the audience had nothing to do with it, this video wouldn't have happened. There would be no need for it because Lizzie would continue talking about Darcy or bashing him and Charlotte would just keep going. So that's a really cool way to look at it from the writer's perspective mm-hmm. in incorporating this and saying, Lizzie's got it all wrong. This is the true story. Mm-hmm. We want to clear the air so everyone is aware and we're on a level playing ground.
Mm-hmm. Plus, I mean, if the conflict, because, you know, it's ultimately kind of a love story.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, it started that way. The Lizzie Bennet Diaries is more sort of like a sister story, like Frozen. Like,
yes.
There's romance in it, but it's like a sister story. But if you look at the love aspect of it, really the ultimate barrier is miscommunication.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we really have no conflict if mm-hmm. we don't have Lizzie just kind of like shouting her truth.
Yeah.
And yeah, like that episode was really for us as the audience to hear confirmed Darcy is into Lizzie, which you know if you've read the story. But this was for our benefit. This was like the third person omniscient. This is the closest that we're going to get to Pride and Prejudice's narrator.
Yeah, and that slowly inches forward the romance narrative, even though we're still far away from it. Mm-hmm. It's like it's planting those seeds for us to be like, oh my gosh, it's finally happening in a very subtle way.
Yeah, like if we listen to Lizzie, we just hear about this weirdo guy.
who sulks in dark corners.
Like, shut up about this guy already.
Yeah.
And it's important for us as the audience to know that he is into her. And it doesn't necessarily make him a better person for liking her. But, you know, I think we all think back to the awkward people in our lives who maybe we've been that awkward person who has a crush on someone, or a super awkward person who's had a crush on us or someone we know. And it's tough to share your feelings. And I feel like that makes him much more sympathetic later on. I think back to my elementary school days where you just kind of like, I don't, like, I feel like I had, like, a crush of the year. Like, oh, he was my first grade crush.
Oh, my gosh, I did that, too.
I feel like I could, it's not like, it was always, like, one guy at a time.
Yeah.
And it was, like, for, like, a whole year, and then you get bored.
Yeah.
And you need someone else.
Actually, I think I had a crush all throughout elementary school.
Ooh.
But then there was, like, side ones. And so it, like, popped up. So but there was, like, funny. The main crush.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
And that, ooh, you know what? That's technically going to happen coming up in the Lizzie Bennet Diaries. Because
that's true.
It's not like Lizzie just waits around for Darcy. Eventually, she's going to get a hunky dude. Hot swimmer who's bad for you. But you love him. You love to hate him kind of way. Like Nick from The Bachelor. Like, you know, like, I know not all of our listeners watch The Bachelor.
Has that season started yet or not
January
yet?
2nd.
Okay.
I was just watching the promos for it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Nick, I hated you, but now I love you.
They made him the good guy.
Because they, because they completely, like, manufactured your image during Bachelor in Paradise. All right, segueing into episode 16, Happiness is the Pursuit of Life.
This episode was written by Bernie Sue, and now we're getting Lizzie back. And
she's pissed.
She's a little pissed about her best friend and her best sister friend hijacking her vlog.
And she's like spitting. She's like, lies, all lies.
Yes, and she tells Charlotte, like, don't do any of those editing tricks that you do. Don't, like, draw a mustache on me type of thing.
But ultimately, she loves Charlotte, because then she goes into this loving rant about she's going to be so famous and successful, and I'm going to be like, make way for the best friend. And I think we all have those thoughts about ourselves and about the people we love. Like, we like to think that they're amazing people and they're going to have all the success in life that the famous people we equally love.
Yeah. But then, so Charlotte comes in, she meets her for lunch, they're going to go out, and Charlotte kind of brings down the tone, the happy tone of, usually that happens in these episodes. Suddenly we get to a very real space, and it's a little pessimistic, but it's also very realistic as far as Lizzie wants the best for Charlotte. She's, you know, she sees fame and fortune in her future, and Charlotte's saying, well, you can't predict happiness to happen for anyone.
Yeah, this was one of those, like, heavy rock episodes where you're like, oh my gosh, Darcy and Jane and Bing and the love story. And then, you get hit with, like, real person problems. And I'm like, what is this? I came here to have a good time, and instead
I'm being attacked.
Also the fact that I have, like, a film and an English degree, I feel personally attacked by this episode with Charlotte talking about, like, you can't predict happiness. Even if you're a hard worker, like, that doesn't mean you'll be successful. Ugh, Charlotte needs a Snickers.
We don't need that realness.
No, I don't need that kind
We're young and optimistic. Yeah.
I am still young enough to feel like this whole Hollywood career is going to pan out. Like, it's still going to happen for me. I'm still bright-eyed and bushy-tailed enough to believe that that's just around the corner. Did you ever watch 30 Rock?
I didn't.
There's this really funny, because one of the famous characters on there is Kenneth the Page.
Oh, yes.
A late episode that's really funny where Jack Donaghy, Alec Baldwin's character, says to him, how do you do it, Kenneth? How do you stay so optimistic? And he goes, do you want to know, Mr. Donaghy? I lie to myself every morning. I get up and I say, everything's going to be all right, but I'm lying.
Oh, no.
It's like Charlotte's been doing that for a long time. And she's hungry enough where she's just gonna be like, nah, it's not gonna be okay today. Aww. Or maybe ever. I'm just like, ugh, no, I didn't need to hear that today. I didn't need to hear that for like another 10 years.
And she seemed a little off when she saw that Lizzie was recording without her. It seems like they do, even though we have seen episodes where Lizzie records on her own, it seems like they do stick to a schedule where Charlotte is aware of what's happening and what she's going to have to edit too. Because anything Lizzie records is work for Charlotte that she's going to have to take on later. So maybe it could be something that, like, oh, she got annoyed because suddenly there's this new episode she's going to have to edit and publish. And I don't know, Charlotte's just, she's had this these off days, too, happen with her. Something was off with Charlotte in another episode. It was about her sick aunt.
Yeah.
We still, again, don't really know what's happening with that. Mm-hmm. And in this one, again, something just feels off with Charlotte, and we don't really know about what's going on with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is, I mean, because, you know, sick relatives can't be helped. You obviously need to be good and help out in those situations. But this is really the first episode where we see, like, an unwarranted, unhappy Charlotte. Like, she's just not happy. She's very cynical about the success of her future. And, I mean, I think what this is doing more than anything, same with the last episode, it's planting seeds for what's going to happen in the future. Because think about it, we're kind of on the I'd say at this point, we're sort of on the cusp of meeting all these characters that we've been hearing about. We've been hearing about Rick Collins. We've been hearing about Caroline and Bing and, like, all these people. We are, well, like, with meeting those characters comes the inherent conflict. And this is kind of the beginning of the end of Charlotte as Lizzie knows her. Because that's kind of like what a big thing is for her, is Charlotte is eventually going to go in a direction that Lizzie didn't see coming. And this is where it starts. It begins here. This is Charlotte 2.0's origin story.
It's clearly not something that she's openly talked about with Lizzie. It's something that she's kept bottled up and kept to herself. And of course, everyone has their own doubts about their careers or what's going to happen. But now it's like she's hungry. She just wants to leave. And she kind of lets a bit of the cracks kind of show. And it's very surprising to Lizzie, because suddenly, like, this strong, independent person who she really looks up to and is a very talented filmmaker suddenly doesn't believe in her talents as much as she believes in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like we've heard that these two have been together since day one. I'm sure they've had a lot of the same, if not similar, goals and aspirations, and they're the same age, and they've gone through all the same phases in life together. And now her best friend looks like she's changing. And I mean, they're all changing, but now she's changing in a way that's not, their lives are no longer parallel. And that's so scary to Lizzie.
Yeah.
It's scary to us too, because we don't know exactly what's wrong with Charlotte yet.
Yeah, and that, I would think that typically happens right after high school, where suddenly with your childhood friends, your lives are no longer parallel. You kind of, everyone goes off to college, they have different lives, but they've still managed to still be friends and maintain that friendship no matter what.
It looks like suddenly Charlotte is doubting her decisions.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting to a point where realistically they have to think about what is going to happen post-grad school. And they're not always going to be together. Or, I mean, that's what kind of Lizzie imagines their life to be like. We're always going to be friends. We're always going to stick together. You're going to be successful. And I'll cheer you on. But Charlotte's thinking about it in a more realistic and a bit cynical way.
I feel like I'm kind of hitting this phase, too, where you suddenly realize you've been a student your whole life. And it's been great. And it's, you know, in some ways it's easy because it's something that you're very used to.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you realize, oh my gosh, this is actually a really small part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of my life is not going to be dependent on studying for tests or writing papers or, you know, having study groups. It's dependent on things that are out of my control, and that's scary.
Real talk.
Okay. Real talk. Let's stop this real talk.
Yeah, we're getting a little too real, like Charlotte.
I hope the next episode is really happy.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what it was, but I hope that, like, unicorn made of cotton candy. I hope she hosts the vlog and she's very happy about life. Let's hope that our comments are more uplifting.
Starting with episode 15, the first comment for the 15th episode was by we've had this person before, actually.
Hold on. I'm trying to figure this with you. Tartarugamouse?
Who said, finally, ! Heart. And this person has commented first before, so it's now a contest for who gets first.
Do you think this person was in, like, a special time zone, or just, like, was an obsessed fan like
us? They were refreshing. Uh-huh. Yeah.
This person was unemployed.
Oh, no.
All right, Cicero says, "Ha! Jane, you're kind of my hero. I have a feeling you're a little like Bruce Banner, kind of sweet and gentle-seeming. But when you get angry, you would probably turn into a raging beast and destroy Tokyo. I'm mixing monsters analogies, but you get what I'm saying. I fully approve."
We see a little bit of the Hulk come out in Jane defending her baby sister Lydia and saying, "Hey, don't call her a drunk."
Yeah.
How dare you?
It's true.
Yeah.
Dramatize.
I like to think Hufflepuffs, because I'm also a Hufflepuff. We're like, fight me, but don't actually fight me. So don't come near me.
Don't come any closer.
Yeah.
Or I'll call someone over here.
Yeah, I'll call an adult. Wait, I'm an adult. Oh, no.
Oh, that's the scariest part.
Yes. Diana Holmes said, "I loved the delivery of Jane's line, 'It's super important.' But I am wondering why Jane didn't defend Caroline. The two seem to be getting along okay. I like how we see more than one side of Jane in this video. She seems to be more comfortable in front of the camera and directly confronted Charlotte about calling Lydia a drunk. Lizzie is going to be pretty angry, though. I feel sorry for Jane."
Well, that brings up a good point, though, because I talked about the Caroline spectrum earlier, and Jane is, like, madly in love with Caroline,
yeah.
And she didn't exactly deny Charlotte's, like, Valley Girl impression.
Yeah. She played into it, really, and she was going along with it, and I guess anything, she could still be sweet toward Jane, or still nice toward Jane, but maybe that's how Caroline is with everyone else.
And you know, if you're Jane, would you rather stick up for Caroline in a sketch that's sort of written by someone else, or would you rather stand up to Charlotte and say, your interpretation is wrong? You know, like,
yeah.
It's easier to just read the lines and claim, oh no, I was just acting a part written for me. I had nothing to do with this. Than, like, say, hey now, that is not the Caroline I know and love.
Yeah. I guess Charlotte didn't outright say anything mean about Caroline. She was doing a bit of a mocking impression of Caroline, but she didn't outright say something like, Caroline is horrible. Caroline is awful. I think it's only then that we see a bit more of that Hulk side of Jane come out.
Yeah.
Going on to episode 16 comments. First comment was by Bailey Kingston, who did a smiley face, but it's like the colon and capital D.
Yeah.
Not a very, it's a more of a visual comment.
Yeah. Yeah. Happy, no words.
Yes.
Lauren N. says, great job on interpreting 18th century female problems into modern day ones. Charlotte goes from originally scared of becoming a spinster who is a burden on her parents to a woman who feels that she has no realistic chances of filmmaking success. I'm starting to feel like we're following the original plot more closely now, which is great. I guess I didn't even think of, like, that's true. That's Charlotte's main external problem in the book is she's 27, she's not married, she's like...
In the book, she was 27?
She's 27. Unmarried.
I'm not saying that's bad now.
No, I mean, right now, are you kidding me?
That's fine.
27 is 4 years away.
For some reason, I imagine that she was, like, only 24 or 23, and she was like, oh, you're an old woman, not unmarried.
I mean, late 20s, that's...
Was it a scandal to not be married? Or it was, like... Maybe it was, like, talked about, like, oh, you know, Charlotte still isn't married, 27.
I mean, like, you're sort of, I feel like prime marriageable age back then was, like,
early between, 20s.
Like, 17 and 20, you know? Goodness. So the fact that she's, like, you know, almost 10 years past her prime is, like.
Yeah.
I mean, I think she's kind of embarrassed by it.
I guess in that sense, I do get Mrs. Bennet's paranoia of wanting to get Jane married, because if she doesn't get married soon, she's gonna have to be super reliant on her parents, and that is, yeah, I mean, Charlotte's concern was being a burden to her parents, but it's that in a different way in the modern day adaptation, because she doesn't want to be a burden to her parents in not being a success in making her own money and moving out of her home. There's still those relatable aspects of it, of keeping that same theme of not being a burden.
And also, it's kind of like, I feel like, a matter of making something of yourself. Because back then, like, you kind of, your husband made something of himself, and you got to be the woman who married the guy who, you know, made this money or did this thing or met these people. And in this adaptation, she's kind of, like, she's got these really big dreams of being a filmmaker, and they could so easily go unfulfilled, not because she's not a hard worker or she's not smart, but because she, you know, just doesn't have the luck.
So, this next comment, there were a lot of theories floating around with what was wrong with Charlotte, we don't know. This next comment was by Ariel C507, who says, theory time. Charlotte is already engaged to Collins. I was rewatching old episodes, specifically episodes 8 and 9, and in episode 8, Charlotte was extremely shifty when questioned about her absence and tried to change the subject. Then, in 9, Lizzie tells us that she heard about Rick Collins' engagement, but didn't say who Collins got engaged to.
You know, I can actually see this as a viable theory if you didn't know. Like, I think now we kind of know the Lizzie Bennet Diaries is a series who gave us this kind of, gave us information.
Yeah.
This relies on a lot of guessing and a lot of secrecy that just, like, wasn't really present in this series.
Yeah.
But that's actually, I'd say it's a pretty decent theory if you didn't know how it would be adapted. Elisa Jeanette says, are they going to make Charlotte pregnant? That would be an interesting twist on the original. Then again, they're American college students, so I guess that's a fairly significant change. I don't know. Charlotte pregnant.
Because she's a little hungry. She's that's true. She's a little irritable.
That's true. I guess and if you, like, go on two of the many symptoms of pregnancy, that's...
What a twist that would have been.
I mean, what would that have... how would that work? Because, well, I mean, I know how it would work. But as far as the plot goes... Well, I don't know, because I feel like the whole point is Charlotte's life gets much better when she marries Collins in the book. Like, we don't necessarily fixate on if she's happy being married to him, but she's happy being a married woman. Like, she's happy having her own house, running her own staff. She's, like, in charge of her life. She's
very proud of it.
Yeah, and so, like, really, she... It is a big accomplishment when she marries Collins. So, like, what would the accomplishment of, like, having a baby in here be, though?
That's an accomplishment, too.
Oh, yeah, no, totally. But I mean, like...
No, but that would have been actually a really cool twist, because suddenly Lizzie imagines Charlotte, she's going to be, like, this successful filmmaker, she's going to go on to make all these great things, but what if Charlotte gets pregnant and suddenly she... She becomes a stay-at-home mom, and she's happy with that. And suddenly, Lizzie is so unhappy with Charlotte because of everything that she's worked toward. In Lizzie's eyes, she's giving that up to become a stay-at-home mom. But in Charlotte's eyes, maybe she's happy with that.
Oh my gosh, I could totally see that happening. Because, yeah. I mean, first of all, Lizzie would be super judgy about her friend getting pregnant.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, that's unacceptable. But... That's true. Like, she, like, because the whole point is Lizzie gets mad at Charlotte for choosing a direction. And I mean, you know, spoilers, but eventually she chooses a career, which, I mean, hello, you're working towards a career anyway. You're just, like, having it sooner.
It's just a slightly different career.
Yeah, it's just a slightly different route. But you're right. I could totally see Charlotte, oh, like, a 180, like, stay-at-home mom. Like, Rick Collins does all the work. And she's like... happy with her life, and Lizzie going, what is she doing? She's so smart. She's wasting her life. How could she be? She's not really happy. Like, I wonder if that writers, if any of the writers are listening to this, we want to know.
If that was a possibility of making her pregnant.
Well, I hope the next episode gets happier.
Yes.
Hope you all had happy holidays. We're signing off.
And again, feel free to keep up with us on social media, on Twitter and Instagram. We are at The Pemberley. On Facebook, just search The Pemberley Podcast to find our page. You can also find our episodes and any other additional commentary on our WordPress page, thepemberleypodcast.wordpress.com. And if you would also like to send in your thoughts or other theories or other fandom crossovers, or you want to just talk to us, feel free to email us at thepemberleypodcast@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening.
Bye.